It's good to have you here today. Thanks for listening. We started off our week on Monday with a goal, and that was to finish part two of the three-part testimony John the Baptist gives of Jesus. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We broke this into three parts to enhance our understanding. Part one is sin of the world, part two is Lamb of God, and part three is takes away. In part two, Lamb of God, the title that John the Baptist gives Jesus, we've been moving throughout the Bible, beginning in Genesis, and yesterday we were in Exodus. Today I want to take us into Isaiah, then the book of John, and finally into the final book of the Bible, the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're learning about the rich meaning of the Lamb, L-A-M-B, Lamb. And we're following another sound theologian here, A.W. Pink. As he writes about the Lamb in Scripture being typified, prophesied, applied, personified, identified, magnified, and glorified. We've already covered the meaning of typified, prophesied, and applied, and today we'll see what he means by personified, identified, magnified, and glorified. And so, if you have your Bible with you, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 7. That's in the Old Testament. I want to read from there in a moment. Isaiah 53:7. As I read, listen for he, H-E, because this is none other than Jesus Christ. And Jesus is, of course, a person. Hence, the Lamb is now personified. So this is Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. Now, if you did not know, Isaiah is a prophet. And what he is doing here is to foretell the crucifixion of Christ in the distant future. When we read the crucifixion narratives in the New Testament Gospels, we see Isaiah's prophecy is exactly correct. I'm tempted to run us over to the Gospels now to compare what Isaiah has said to exactly what happened, but that's not our purpose right now, and time is ticking. The point I want you to see here is that the lamb animal that was sacrificed for the sins of the Jewish people, like we saw earlier this week, was only symbolic. But Jesus, the perfect person, makes the sacrifice literal, real, eternally effective, and everlasting. God required his Son, the perfect human person, to die, to be sacrificed for our sins. The lamb animal was never adequate for the forgiveness of sins. The lamb animal is merely a symbol of Jesus. Jesus is literally the lamb, and his death takes away sin. The Old Testament lamb animal only represented Jesus, but the lamb is really a person. The lamb is personified. And our next word is identified. The lamb in the Bible is identified, and we don't need to spend any time on this one because we have already invested much time and attention here. The passage that Arthur Pink had in mind is John 1 and verse 29. John the Baptist sees Jesus coming towards him, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Jesus is the Lamb of God, and it is John the Baptist who identifies him as such. And so today, we've seen now the Lamb personified and identified, and now the Lamb is magnified and glorified. And for this, we come to the revelation of Jesus Christ, the crescendo of Scripture and the final of the 66 books that make up the Word of God. For several years, I have taught this book chapter by chapter and verse by verse in a 90-minute adult discussion group every Sunday morning before our worship services in my church. Currently, we are paused at Revelation chapter 15, so I've not even gotten to Revelation 22 yet. Months were spent in Revelation chapter 5 alone, and I'm literally going to only spend minutes with you here today. So just keep that in mind when you hear me describe what the Lamb being magnified and glorified means. There's a lot to this, but we only have time today to skim the surface. A lot of you don't have access to a Bible now, as you listen and do other things, but for those of you who are able, open the text and please turn with me to Revelation chapter 5. The revelation of Jesus Christ is written by the Apostle John. He's the same John who wrote the Gospel according to John, as well as 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. And earlier in the revelation, we learn that the Holy Spirit is giving him a vision of heaven. And John sees and then writes in vivid color what he is seeing. In chapter 5, he mentions the Lamb in verse 6, but I want to take us to verse 11. Notice the word Lamb is spelled with a capital L. Why? Because the Lamb is a person, Jesus Christ. I am reading now Revelation chapter 5 and verses 11 through 14. Let this seep into your mind and heart. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and might, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and on to the sea, and all things in them, I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb be blessing, and honor, and glory, and dominion forever and ever." And the four living creatures kept saying, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. That is the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 5, and verses 11 through 14. The Lamb of God, Jesus, is being magnified. He's being worshipped. The angels, the living creatures, the elders, the myriads of myriads, the thousands of thousands, they extol the Lamb. They honor the Lamb. They make the Lamb great. They celebrate the Lamb in praise. Oh, how worthy he is. He is to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing and dominion forever and ever. And note verse 12, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain," killed. That's Jesus, all right. Oh, you have to know Jesus. You must know Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God. Come, let's worship him forever. Get started today. This is a vision of heaven. This is eternity set before us. But in order to enjoy this forever, you must begin in worship of Christ today. Here, right now, where your feet are planted and your hearts beat inside your chest by the radio, computer, or phone. Do not delay. Cast yourself on the mercy of God in Jesus and believe in him this day for the forgiveness of your sins. Whatever you have done, he will forgive you. Please write to me this weekend and share with me your desire to follow Christ. Mark at markaswallow.com. Are you already a Christ follower? Then get your eyes off yourself and off of others and lift your eyes to Christ. Quit worrying about your own problems. Do not be so self-obsessed. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worship him, brother. Come along and worship, sister. Join with the angels, the living creatures, the elders, the myriads of myriads, the thousands of thousands as they honor the Lamb. Don't wait for Sunday's worship service. You don't need the big band and words on a screen and all the usual hubbub. Get right down on your knees where you are and praise him. Worship him. Worship him every day. Worship him today. Jesus Christ, the Lamb, is magnified. And finally, the Lamb is glorified. Revelation 22 and verse 1. Let me just read this to you. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. There he is again, Jesus, the Lamb of God. He is on the throne. Jesus is God. The Lamb is glorious. Jesus is glory. From Genesis 4, when the Lamb is typified, to Revelation 22, when the Lamb is glorified. Indeed, the Lamb is very important to the testimony of Scripture. And isn't it incredible that God can take a little lamb animal, something we can understand, and use it as a symbol for Jesus Christ, such that we can get it? Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is our only Savior from sin. Indeed, the Lamb is typified, prophesied, applied, personified, identified, magnified, and glorified. As we end the week together, I hope this has been helpful to you. We have just now one more part of John 1, verse 29 to discuss next week. A part 3 takes away. We will complete that and move on. I don't know about you, but I have had lamb on my mind so much this week that it's like, we gotta have it. Gotta have it for dinner tonight. And this is funny. Yesterday, we wanted something different for lunch. So I called into our favorite pizza place and asked for the steak kebab wrap. Then I jumped in the car to go get it. Do you know that as I approached the counter, the young woman asked me what I ordered, and I nearly said, the lamb kebab. Lamb on the brain. Write to me this weekend with your interest in Jesus. Please email me. Enjoy your weekend, and then come back Monday, for God is...